Well, good morning. It's good to be. Good morning, whoever that was. So, a funny story. Earlier, if you were in the building, the power shut down in the earlier service. And I was walking down the halls, and several people were like, "Were you the person who turned the power off?" And I said yes, because I knew I was leaving right after I preached to you all, because then I could accept the blame for it and wouldn't have to deal with the repercussions. But I actually did not cause the power to go out. And I'm glad we have power to be able to worship together this time. So until last summer when I got here, I had never set foot on a hiking trail, nor had I ever camped in my life. And then I said yes to Andy Ellis. Yes, Andy, I will go with your youth on this trip known as Wilderness Trail. Now, being the eager seminary student I was pretty much ready to dive headfirst into any opportunity I could. So I said yes, without any knowledge of what it was, what I was getting into, and how I would fare. As trail approached and I finally looked up on the internet what it was, I kind of had a double take moment. And I thought to myself, this could play out in either one of two ways. I either put on this confident, brave face and conquer my first outdoor adventure in Boone on trail, or the youth from this church get to see a live reality television show in the making as I either, the intern, which was what my name was until I made it back, am left out in the wilderness, or I come home early. Did I forget to mention that the adults couldn't sleep in the tents? We didn't have enough. And did I forget to mention that I don't get along so well with thunderstorms? When have we overlooked the goodness of a God who is faithful in the unfamiliar? A God who knows our very needs before we even ask. A God who hears our prayers even if we don't feel as if they are heard. When have you been in the wilderness, head over heels, wading in deep water without a paddle in the struggles of finding how to get out of the place in which you are lost or wandering and searching? When our fears and anxieties overcome that sense of who we are rooted in God's love, a love that so often we want to depart from when things become different, when there are transitions in our midst, when there's a new pastor, when an intern goes away, when there's a friend who moves away, when there's disruption in the body of Christ. We are prone to wander from that love, forgetting that sometimes we don't feel like we can deserve a gift so great. We want to have control. We want to have the upper hand because we don't like to feel helpless. And yet, throughout life's transitions, we see how persistent the love of God is. God's love never falls short of us. We might turn away, but God's yes is persistent. God's yes is constant through and through. Last week, we experienced it in the openness of the table, gathering together no matter where it is we are coming from, whether we're in the joys of life or whether we are coming to that table broken. And as if that was not enough, Christ gives us a way of communicating with gratitude and with thanksgiving for that opportunity, that invitation, through prayer, something we've been discussing all morning and has framed so much of our time together. Whether our own words or feelings escape us, and whether we are trying to reclaim this confidence we have as children of God, we are given a gift that many of us so often don't feel that we deserve, an opportunity to pour ourselves out to God. Hear these familiar words from Matthew's gospel. Would you please stand in honor of the reading? And whenever you pray, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I'll be praying for you. I'll be keeping you in my prayers. A simple statement, and yet so deep at the same time. When have we not thrown this phrase around? Be it in a text message, a phone conversation, a card, a Facebook post. But then we think, well, what does prayer entail? We almost have to pause and say, what does prayer look like in my life? What does prayer look like in the life of a body, in a church? Maybe you struggle with finding a form of prayer that meets you where you are. Perhaps being in a state of silence and quiet drives you crazy. Maybe being in a community praying with people is overwhelming. Or perhaps reading some drawn-out, long, wordy prayer is not your thing. So then what about prayer anchors us as a body? How does it sustain our life together as church? Prayer gives us room to be vulnerable. Jesus explains to the disciples that those people who are out in the synagogues and on the street corners who seem like they have it all together, that's not it. That's not it. There's no cutting corners in prayer. In simple terms, it's raw. It's uninterrupted. Jesus says, go into your room and shut the door. Find that place where you can be at peace where you are with God and with your life in the most unhindered way imaginable. Prayer comes out of a deep place of wrestling. It's not easy, and many times we know it can be frustrating. Have you ever thought about what prayer has looked like in your life over many years? I'm always curious to hear people's response because I think it always expresses where we are in our walk with God. I've been thinking a lot about visual prayer lately because I'm a very visual person. So a lot of times I draw my prayers. I write out the names of the people I'm praying for or the things and events in the world I'm praying for. And then I spend time with each of those things, shading them, coloring them, filling them in, seeing them every day. Another example of prayer that involves the whole body was at Vacation Bible School this year. Pastor Laura and I took a bunch of the older kids out on the Boone United Trail one day during the week, and we did a prayer walk together, stopping at different points along the way to take in what was around us, to pay attention to our breathing, and to keep our minds focused on the present and away from the things that tend to distract us. I think this all speaks to the beauty that is prayer. It's not that we have to have some black and white structure for prayer. It doesn't have to always be closed hands, closed eyes. It can involve the whole body. It could be being present in silence. In a way, it's our way of identifying where God is in whatever moment we're in. Jesus teaches the disciples that it's not a matter of elaborate words, drawn-out prayers. Do not keep on babbling like pagans, he says, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. We forget who ultimately has the last word, or maybe it's we're longing to be reminded of that reality. I don't know about you, but Jesus' teaching of the Lord's Prayer reminds me that prayer is not something that we can measure on a scale of how inadequate it is or how sufficient it is. Prayer is about your individual relationship with God. not what others perceive it to be. We know this, for how many times have you found yourself in a situation where there haven't been right words to say? A situation where offering a prayer might have felt too stale. Or maybe all you could do was be present in the silence and the comfort of the people around you. I love this quote by one of my favorite authors, Anne Lamott. She says, "Prayer begins with stopping in our tracks, or with our backs against the wall, or when we are going under the waves, or when we are just so sick and tired of being physically sick and tired that we surrender. Or at least we finally stop running away and at long last walk or lurch or crawl toward something. Or maybe miraculously we just release our grip slightly." There's a degree of vulnerability to prayer. It's almost too easy for us to cry out in those wilderness moments, those times of uncertainty and transition that we've been talking about these past several weeks. We hit a breaking point and say, "God, help me out of this pit. I'm a wreck. I'm tired." And that's our prayer. That's our constant. Wilderness Trail was an opportunity to see that God is indeed good and faithful even in our lowest. You're left on that space for 4.5 days, disconnected from technology, removed from routine and time, and all you can do is pray that God's goodness shows up within the people you're on that journey with. And indeed it does. Indeed it does. Prayer is God's constant and open invitation to us to have a conversation, whether we feel like we're ready to have it or not. For us, it's the apprehension of where God is and how God is moving in and through our lives, in the joys, in the fears, in the doubts. In prayer, we can name our hard questions that divide us. We can name our doubts around the things we see in the news and the media, leaving us numb and wondering, whose story am I supposed to believe? Or when we hear voices in our churches who tell us that because of where we've been, that we don't fit into this message of the gospel. Prayer is our imperfect way of naming these things, acknowledging our most broken places, while at the same time staying in love with a God who loves us first. And there's more. Prayer is not only something between God and us, but between the people sitting next to you and the people in this community beyond these walls and in our other worship spaces. Perhaps one of Jesus' most powerful prayers is the one he prays on behalf of his disciples, on behalf of us. In John, he says, "All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus is praying for the disciples in anticipation of a change, a time where he would no longer be among them in the earthly sense, but that the Spirit would be shaping their way of doing life together. He asked that they might hold on to those teachings he instilled in them, so that then when the time came, they would glorify God in all that we do, all that they did and all that we do. One of my favorite lines in the Lord's Prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." The church is hungry for a taste of God's assurance each day. And we have each other to be reminded of that. We build each other up. We sustain one another in this community we're a part of. Prayer is the way we are brought together, and it's one of the many ways we do life together. Why else would Jesus have called all the disciples to hear this one prayer? It's because our prayer is the same prayer of the people sitting next to us. It's a way of life. It's our common way of being together. Prayer captures where we are on life's journey. The jumps, the pits, the highs, the lows, a journey that we all share. The beautiful thing about being church is that we are invited to be a part of this, something so deep and yet so fragile. That day of Pentecost began what has been this constant unfolding of how the Spirit is bringing us with people who might be different from all accounts from us. And yet we can all name and say that Jesus informs our way of being called, our way of being in life together. And we get to see that work of the Spirit in and through each other. Have you ever heard a child pray? I think it could be one of the most powerful witnesses to the way that we are praying even from the beginning of our walk with God. The girl on the screen is my little cousin, Kylie. This is her in the prayer room on Christmas Eve, the night we were waiting to see if my grandma would be able to come home and be with us on Christmas after being in the hospital the entire month. Kylie is sharp. She knows where that prayer room is. And I think the kids in our midst always seem to know when things aren't right. They're attuned to what's up, when things are not the way they normally are. In a way, they recognize that the wounds we carry are not just the subject of our own personal struggles, but they affect everybody in the body. And just as Jesus takes on our wounds as his own, our tears as his tears, perhaps we can't help but identify with that cry he gave on the cross, a prayer that so many of us could not even fathom to pray ourselves. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is crying out from our own struggles. It's a prayer that goes beyond the superficial. A prayer that touches us on an intimate level that we would not be able to have otherwise if we were not brought into this body, being a part of a life in Christ. Prayer is a relationship with depths beyond a simple handshake or a hug on Sunday morning. It enters a space that we know is delicate and at the same time holy. A space where we are called to walk with people in a way we never have before. A way that invites us to remind each other of the love of Christ when we don't feel like we can embrace it on our own. In this body, the voice of a youth leader affirming the gifts of a student who never felt that they could participate in the life of this body. That's a Jesus who calls us to pray. A people who can gather around a couple going through cancer treatments and surround them each week with love and prayer. That's a Jesus who calls us to pray. The person you have a conversation with over coffee only to realize that they've been in that same place you have. That's a Jesus who calls us to pray. A congregation who prays for pastors, interns, you name it, missionaries, as they transition out of a new season of ministry, only to continue to pray for them in that time. That's the Jesus who calls us to pray. That's the Jesus who calls us to pray in times of change, in times of transition. And we certainly would not know how to have these relationships if we couldn't look to Jesus. Without the prayer of the one who teaches us that doing life in this way reveals that we don't carry these burdens on our own. I would invite the worship team to come forward. Jesus teaches us to pray in a new way. And this is not a prayer that can be reduced to a simple few words. I'm sorry, or wow, I don't really understand what you're going through, so I don't think what I have to offer is sufficient. That's not what it is. It's a prayer rooted in a deep love of God, a love that Jesus says that cannot be greater, any greater, than laying down one's life for one's friends. And as with a friendship, prayer is not something that happens instantaneously or overnight. It happens in the breaking of bread, the growing of relationships, the sharing of life together. It's the ongoing relationship and growth of that relationship in Jesus, a love between two or many in which each person seeks to hold the other accountable to that love when it seems far away. And in prayer, we bring whatever it is we have to the table. the baggage we carry, the sorrows of our heart, the joys in life, into a place where others are invited to share in those with us. And this is something we can't help but praise God for, that we get to carry each other, that we get to show one another glimpses of a heavenly kingdom here in our midst, that we get to be a part of a gift that we didn't even ask for in the first place. A God who is already open to hearing our deepest needs, and the people God calls to walk with us in those places, to remind us of that gift, that opportunity to say, God, I need you. I need more of you. Amen.